What's up, y'all? Welcome to Conversation Piece with Patrick Armstrong. I am the titular Patrick, and this is a show where we talk about the missing pieces of the conversations we're already having. Shout out to our returning listeners, and a high five and hello to everybody joining us for the very first time. I appreciate y'all being here in 2024, the year of the gnat. My guest today is a multimedia extraordinaire, videographer, photographer, graphic designer, web designer, PR guy, and the connector. He's also the CEO of Push Prep, a multimedia marketing community for influencers and content creators to come together as one, based right here in Indianapolis. It is my honor and privilege to welcome Greg Buck to the show. What's going on, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into it. I know that you said you don't normally step, or you don't talk too much, I guess, when it comes to stuff like that. So
yes,
you said this is like your first or second podcast interview. What makes this the time to have a conversation?
I just been planning back in the city for about 8 months now. So I just feel like, hey, it's time to start talking a little bit.
All right. I'm here for it. Well, I appreciate you giving me the honor and privilege to have this conversation today. For folks who may not know who you are, do you mind sharing just a little bit more about yourself?
I'm Greg Buck. Originally from Cassopolis, Michigan. Moved to Indianapolis when I was 6 years old. Played basketball. That was really my upcoming west side of Indianapolis on Riverside. It's a lot of us from that area.
Okay.
I learned everything there, I would say, on the basketball court.
For sure.
That's about it.
What position you play?
Point guard, of course. All right. I'm only like 5'10 on a good day.
You might be just a scorer, though. So, do you facilitate or are you scorer, you shooter?
Both of them. All right. Kind of, you know what I'm saying?
That's what's up.
Yes, sir.
That's what's up. We were talking off mic before we hopped on here about how you ended up first picking up a camera, and that was when you were still playing in college.
Yes. So in college, I kind of blew out my left knee a little bit, or I tweaked it or something like that. I had to be cleared by the doctors, went through a lot of therapy, just wasn't going fast enough for me. When I was younger, I just wanted to do everything fast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And went through about 3 or 4 weeks of therapy, and they was like, man, you got better fast. I was like, yeah, I did. You know what I'm saying? Let's go. Let's get it on. So I ended up making a fake doctor's note because I was so good at Photoshop, saying that my knee was clear, and I messed up my other knee. So after that, I was kind of done, picked up a camera, started doing stuff for my teammates. And from there, I started being behind the camera.
That's what's up. And you were already messing around on computers and stuff.
Yes.
Already you are mastering Photoshop.
Yes.
Was that always something that you were interested in?
I used to draw a lot. I was really, really good in art. And I just think that this came from being artistic minded and wanting to learn like different programs and stuff like that. We had programs. I went to IPS schools, Arsenal Tech High School, went to Cold Spring, went to Attucks. And we always had laptops. This is around the generation where they was bringing in laptops and we just had a lot of time to figure out those programs when we was in school. So kind of was a geek before I got to college.
Okay, that's what's up. Well, it definitely helps having that knowledge then picking the camera up.
Yes.
What was that first instinct to go to the camera? When did you know you wanted to do photography?
I really didn't know. It was just a lot of stuff at school that was just free. And I was just like, all right, let me do it. my teammates was asking me like to take pictures and stuff like that because they kind of knew I was into it. I really wasn't into it yet.
Sure.
But after college, I really got into it. I moved back from Michigan because I went to college in Michigan as well. Moved back to Indy, and me and my friend Greg Foster started doing leagues at the local Indy parks for kids. And we did one during NBA lockout season. We had like Lance Stevenson. We had a lot of big names at a young age. I think we was like 24, 25 doing these leagues. You know what I'm saying? So doing leagues. And shout out to my brother as well, Vincent Ash. He was running the Indy park as well, Thatcher. And that kind of was a spring for us to take off with the media and marketing because we was doing it for the kids and stuff like that.
Was that the connection, your brother, to get into the leagues?
Yeah, my brother was running in Thatcher Park. He actually was like the head of Thatcher Park.
Okay.
It's like owned by Ben Davis High School.
Yeah.
He was kind of running the park and he was like, hey, bro, you should do some leagues and stuff like that. And then from there, we got a cheap discount because he was running it, of course. But from there, like the Indy park started hitting us up. Hey, can you do more leagues at this school? Can you come to this park and do leagues and things like that? The league got so big, I ended up stopped doing leagues and actually got hit up by Ice Cube's people to do the Big Three. That's why I stopped kind of doing the leagues and stuff like that and went off to help Ice Cube start his Big Three league.
Damn, okay, that's what's up. Yeah. You ain't got time to do the leagues when you're going out to the Big Three for sure. So those first leagues and stuff that you were doing, obviously working with some big names, like you said, Lance Stevenson, did you know going in, like, videography, photography, multimedia stuff was what I want to do as a business, as an entrepreneur, or was it, like, developed as you were kind of doing
it was kind of developed. So as we was doing the leagues, shout out to Gary Brackett, he owned Stack Pickles.
Yep.
And he kind of brought me in. He was like, hey, here's a marketing job. I know you just know how to do videos and photos, but figure it out. You know what I'm saying? So he was kind of the person that made me get into the multimedia marketing space. Just running all those Stack Pickle locations, going to each location, making sure things was right as far as marketing, guerrilla marketing, making sure bands was right, you know what I'm saying? Making sure graphics was right for the bands. It was like 7 locations, I believe, when we first started. So it was a lot of work, but shout out to Gary Brackett for putting me in that position. And I learned a lot of things just being thrown into that position.
So learning on the fly.
Yes.
Feet to the fire,
yes.
Hit the ground running kind of thing.
Yes.
What was the thing that you learned, or what was something that you learned that you just weren't expecting, like caught you off guard, but you're like, oh, I need this skill?
I really wasn't into web designing at all or graphic design, and I was more into just taking pictures and doing videos. I kind of learned that so fast, and I kind of added that to my package, and that's what people really wanted, was web design, app design, graphic design, things like that. And once I added that into my package, I started getting way more clients.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so these first clients, let's go back to the Big Three, I guess. Was that like, once you were working with Stack Pickle, working with Gary Brackett, like, did that lead into how Ice Cube got a hold of you, saw the work that you've been doing?
So at Ice Cube, I was actually in Vegas at the time, just on vacation. And Andre Owens, he played in my league as well.
Okay.
So we kind of knew each other from him playing in my leagues. And shout out to him and Greg Foster. He told me, hey, come up here, man. I think Ice Cube people want to talk to you. I think they would like to talk to you. So I actually came up there and we did a vlog together, me and Andre, of his draft day. And his draft was going on or whatever. And I actually had got the edit done while the draft was still going on. And I showed Ice Cube's people and it was like, dude, you got this done already. We got a whole camp in the back and they're still editing and you're done already. And it was like, we need you on the team.
That's what's up.
So that was kind of the initial me getting in there.
Okay. Like, where, obviously you're playing sports.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things that I first clocked about your work in particular is how you are always sharing everything that you got going on, your whole schedule. Obviously, I think it's to let people know, okay, this is when I am available and when I'm not available.
Yeah.
But it's just like the work ethic.
Yeah.
Did that come through playing ball?
Definitely came from playing sports. I feel like every person I've worked with that has played sports is easier to work with.
Okay.
They just understand the team aspect and, you know what I'm saying, putting everything out on the table and figuring it out. Definitely came from sports. So definitely, like, in the schedule thing, I'm good at, like, the Google stuff and, you know what I'm saying, getting notifications, but I actually made that for myself just to wake up every morning and say, okay, this is what I have to do today. These are the edits I might have to get done quickly. So I actually made that for myself, but it actually started helping with the clients and me getting more clients, showing people that, just so they could see, okay, this is when he's available, this is when he's not available. Because if you go to a website and you just see, okay, he has this hour available, he has this hour available, you don't know what I'm doing before that or after that. So it kind of lets them gauge to see, okay, I'll book him at this time, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And when you were like, hey, we're still on for this, and I saw the podcast pop up on the picture, I'm like, did I make it? Have I made it now that I'm on Greg Buck's calendar? That's what's up. So going into the Big Three, you're starting to blow up a lot with what you're doing. When did it become like truly like business? Like I'm now running this my own thing and not so much freelance.
Okay. So in 2019, right before the pandemic, I had got a studio. Now I have flirted with a different types of names. Like, we used to be called Dope Print, Blueprint, Press push prep. Like, I just flirted with a lot of different names. And a lot of those names didn't fit me because I was just coming up with stuff just to put it out there because people was like, you need to do a business.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, I'll come up with something.
Some sort of branding that you're just like, oh, this is my umbrella.
Right, exactly. But when we got the studio in 2019, that's when it really became a business. I seen a lot of, like, people coming in. We had, like, content creation days where we, like, let models come in free, let photographers come in free and just create. You know, and that's kind of something that I always wanted to do is have that space where people can come and actually figure out who they are first before they're charged or for, because a lot of people are getting put in positions where they have to spend a lot of money just to find out who they are, and they might not be who they are.
Sure.
So creating that space for people to come in and actually get some work done, see if they like it, see if they don't like it, that's kind of what my goal was for the studio. Now, once the studio came in, I had a retainer. I do retainers, so marketing retainers for a lot of my clients. So instead of, you know what I'm saying, me charging $1,000 per job, I might charge them $1,000 per month and they get to see me 3 or 4 hours a month. Instead of the traditional, hey, you get me for 3 hours, here's a $3,000 bill, you know what I'm saying? Then you don't have to hear from me or talk to me again. So building those relationships with those retainers and helping the businesses grow, I think that was the key part of when it became a business as well.
Okay, and how did that business mindset come about? Like, when were you like, oh, I need to know this part of the work in order to achieve whatever goals that I have set out for me?
Okay, so I worked with a lot of people one time. So the one time thing was kind of like, okay, I'm doing a job for you, then I'm done. But then it was a lot of like follow-ups after that. Like, hey, Greg, what do I do with this? Hey, Greg, what do I do with that? Where do I put this
at? Okay, them following up with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was like, maybe I need to give more time to these people that are hitting me and asking me these questions instead of just a one-time job. So basically, like you said, bringing them to a space where they can talk to me every week for at least an hour. Like on Sundays, we talk to each client. Okay. Sundays, we'll talk to each client for at least an hour, 45 minutes. What you got going on for the week? What's your ideas? How can we help you? What graphics do you need? What email campaign do you need to go out? So that's kind of where things started to roll, you know what I'm saying? In the studio, we had a person to handle emails. We had a person to handle the photographers. We had a person to handle the videographer. So getting back to that kind of mindset this year, because we're going to get a new studio. Shout out to Be Nimble. They're building a studio right now. I wasn't supposed to say that.
We can cut that out.
No, we can keep it in here.
Keep it in here.
But they're building a studio right now as we speak for us to start this whole concept over again, but a little bit more structured. You know, they handle a lot of grants and stuff and help a lot of people, give a lot of grants out to people. So me cutting out that for myself, handling that business plan, and me just coming in free-minded and just getting what I need to get done for projects instead of coming in and trying to handle everything. You know, so you have a person for this, we have a person for that, and I can answer to them. I think that's going to make it so much smoother for not only just our company, but for the people that are trying to grow in the city.
For sure. And then as you started the original studio space 2019, how did you, like, was that you first, and then you started to build the team to be able to handle all the different arms and wings and people that were coming
in? So we kind of was building the team before it happened. I was kind of putting it into a couple people's ears. Hey, this is what we're doing. This is what's going on. We would still work on projects together. So let's talk about some of the people, some of the groups as well. So Salt on Mass, that's downtown Indianapolis. Yep. That came from the Dope Print team. It was me, Jay Golds, Frank Nitty, Mike Andre, Miss E-Class, she used to run the radio stations as well. We had all came together and we was like doing projects together. So I would go out, me, Mike, or Jay would go out, we would bag these contracts, and then we would all go in as a team and kind of execute what the business would need.
Okay.
And we was doing that, you know what I'm saying, before we had even came up with the studio.
Right. Still working through names. Yeah,
Figuring out. We always was headbutting about the name. Like, dude, why are you calling it Dope Print? Nobody's going to want to work with us. You know what I'm saying? So it was just a thing. It was growing pains. You know what I'm saying? We was 26, 27 years old at that time. And you know what I'm saying? Getting $2,000 contracts, $3,000 contracts, spitting it for a wage. You know what I'm saying? But now it's way bigger than that.
Right.
I think that was like 2018, 2017 was doing those type of projects. So just getting back to that concept again, the studio is a main piece for that because you really need people to come together each day to figure out not only each other, but the client as well together, bumping heads. Bumping heads is a good thing, right? It's not always a bad problem because it's good to have good problems sometimes.
100%.
And just being in a space where everybody is in one. All these big companies have buildings where they have a graphics team, they have a photography team, you know what I'm saying? Yep. We're so far behind in Indiana, we really never really had that. Some people have that, but it's smaller scale, you know what I'm saying? You really don't hear them talk too much about it, but I really want it to be talked about. I really wanted, hey, that's the group, that's the team that's helping people, so.
100%. Yeah. Well, you're filling that gap, and that's what we talk about here is missing pieces, you know, and especially in the creative community, in Indianapolis in particular, you know, it's like we're always trying to figure out, okay, how do we bring people together? Last week's guest, Casey Harrison, we were talking about community and how do we create the front door for people who just can't see it because we just never had that before. Right. And I love the way that you've built that or had built that and then are building it now again just to make sure that you have a space for creatives like Mike over here to be able to come through, learn, particularly on the business side of it, but to also collaborate and work together to create something new or build upon, you know, the stuff that's already been here.
Right.
And doing this in community allows you to grow to a point where you can have over 500 clients.
Right.
Like you've been working with a ton of people. You got the Club 520 podcast shirt on right now. Yeah. I know you've been working with them. What's kind of your criteria or what do you think about when you are either approaching a client or being approached by a client to be like, okay, yes, I want to work with you and do whatever it is that you need to be done?
First of all, we kind of have a talk. So they inquire and then we have a talk on what their needs are. Once I hear what the needs are, I can kind of say, okay, we can do project based or we can work on a subscription base for you. But I mean, it takes more than one talk. Sometimes you could talk to one person and then they can have all these ideas, but they don't have any structure yet. So you might have to go back to the drawing board for them. You know what I'm saying? Just to say, okay, you need this. You need a website. You need an LLC. You know what I'm saying? Some people don't have that, you know? So like you said, building those communities where we have a person that can help you with LLCs. We have a person that can help you with financial literacy. We have a person that can help you with your website. That's really the main thing that's needed. But like you said, again, basically those conversations that we're having I can get in the mind of a person to figure out, okay, should it be a project or should they be a subscription client?
Sure.
You don't want the headache of even somebody paying you $5,000. I got $10,000 right now, man. But my idea is this. They don't have a logo. They don't have anything. That's a headache.
Sure.
I really want to work with people that already have it together but just don't have the things in place. So like a Long's Bakery. they don't take cards.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A website would be great for them.
Yeah.
Pre-order, catering, you know what I'm saying? Things like that. Wink, wink. But they're on social media now, right? And it's looking good. So those are the type of people that we really want to work with. Of course, we want to work with anybody, right? But those systems have to be set up. Like, the studio's not set up where we can have four or five people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Thinking for another person. It doesn't make sense for me to take on 50 clients by myself. You know what I'm saying?
So 100%.
I kind of keep it to 13, 15 for myself. And then once the studio gets done, we can build on from there.
Sure. And I think it's so interesting about like that decision-making process because it's not so, you do so many things, you wear so many hats, but it's not like I want to work with somebody who needs me to do everything for them and then they just reap the benefits of my work.
Right, right.
You know, it's like, let's work together. It's very collaborative
exactly.
in that way.
Yes.
You talked about like the reason you created the studio. And what I really like is that labeled yourself as a multimedia person. Like you do all these different things. You connect people, but it goes beyond the media aspect of it to really leaning into financial literacy, the business, the small parts of the business aspect of it. I'm sure like networking and just communicating with other people goes way beyond the creating of content or whatever it might be. What do you think now that you've been back and now that you are building this other studio and you have already addressed a gap in kind of the creative community and the business community a little bit in terms of like what we're missing, and it's this community space. What do you think is missing right now, or something that you'd like to see in Indianapolis when it comes to that creative community? What do you think isn't there, or something that is there that we're not talking about enough that we need to gas up a little bit more?
I mean, I feel like we're gassing up a lot of the gang gang, what gang gang is doing.
Sure.
And I feel like what they're doing is perfect. The people they have in place, shout out to Juan Millie, Jay Golds, these are OGs in the game, kind of, and they're kind of, they have the same kind of mindset I have on bringing together the culture and things like that, and giving a light to shine for the creators. I just feel like that needs to be more of that.
Okay.
Just more of it. It doesn't have to be gang gang. It doesn't have to be Nimble. It doesn't have to be the She event. It doesn't have to be, it could be anybody, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like those people coming together will be so much, Tevin Stuttered. I mean, I can go on for days on the things that's going on in Indy right now that individually people are doing good.
Sure.
But those people coming together, I feel like will be outstanding. I think the NBA kind of did it this past weekend where a lot of people worked together. They was forced to work together.
Sure.
Now, we've seen how that worked and how it happened and how the city made millions of dollars that weekend. Let's do it again.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be the NBA that makes that happen. You know what I'm saying? It could be those head honchos that's running those businesses coming together and making it happen.
And it shouldn't be 7 to 10 years between single events that go on that we can do that. That's what I really liked about All-Star was just seeing everybody come together and see how all of these different avenues and aspects mold together to form that community.
Yes.
And I do think that's something I think about in the Asian American community here in Indianapolis right now. It's just like, okay, we come together in May for our quote unquote history or heritage month, but we do one thing and then we don't talk to each other or do anything for the rest of the year.
Right.
It's like, how are we supposed to get visibility? How are we supposed to create sustainability if we're only meeting one time?
Right. And yeah. I feel like everything could be done. What if we could do something every other month, every month? Like, it could happen. Like, and it's a lot of programs that's doing their own things. Visit Indy, Downtown Indy,
right?
Yelp, you know what I'm saying? Like, now why not come to the same table? I mean, we're not, what are we fighting for? We're all kind of getting the same checks, you know what I'm saying?
100%.
I mean, we can all work together. I mean, there's no reason why not.
And there's so many people, and it, like, in coming together to work together to create these types of opportunities for people is how newer, younger creators who are coming up end up staying here in Indianapolis.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
Like, why? Like, if we can create that infrastructure for people to come together, know that, okay, if maybe this opportunity doesn't work out, there's something over here that I can pursue.
Right.
You know, that makes people think, I don't have to go to New York or LA or Vegas or wherever and like take my talents elsewhere.
Right.
I can be here in Indy and do it where, you know, I grew up, where I was coming up, and keep it here.
Right.
And I think for me, that's something that I've just started to discover as I've been back here for the last 3 years is like, how do we retain talent? How do we retain the young folks who maybe have a preconceived notion of what Indy is? And I think that's what All-Star did, was hopefully shattered some of that for people coming outside of the city.
Yes. Yes, I think it did. I think it did, too. I think it did. A lot of people are thinking and doing things different now since the All-Star game has happened. Sometimes it takes great things or great falls for things to happen like that.
Yeah.
And for sure, that did it.
100%. I just started following you on LinkedIn.
Okay.
We also have a pretty good following, and you're like a business-minded person, so it makes a ton of sense that you're working there as well. You wrote something in February, I think it might have been right before All-Star, and you wrote, "For far too long, I've held back from creating, connecting at my full potential. I allowed myself to be swayed by the belief that the resources at my disposal did not match the grandeur of my aspirations. I hesitated, I second-guessed, and I allowed fear to dictate my actions no longer." I wanted to ask what, if there was anything in particular that prompted this mindset shift for you, like what, like you don't have to like name names or like do anything like that, but I'm just wondering, because that's like a, I'm about to take this step. You've already been doing stuff. Like you've already been doing the work, but this is like, it really resonated with me because I feel in the same way.
Right.
It's like, I've not been, I feel like I've been having these outside influences pushing me and pulling me this way and that way. And I've realized, oh, I can block that noise out and I can do what I want to do if I want to take the time to invest myself.
Right.
Like, I was wondering what prompted that shift.
So what prompted it was, of course, so I've been back in Indy for about 8 months now. I've been taking like little projects in New York, OKC and things like that, where I'm like just going out doing drone work for guys, like working for casinos, doing scans like that, like 3-4 month jobs, 60,000, 70,000. But when I leave and do that, I'm kind of leaving the people behind that I'm working with in Indy. So that kind of what prompted it. Like, okay, what am I doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not even really boasting or bragging about the contracts I'm getting at all. I really don't even post about it, like, because I'm under a non-compete with some of these jobs I'm getting. So it's like, what am I doing? Like, I could be making this same thing in Indy happen. I can make that same money a month here if we could just sit down, everybody be in one space, and we can disperse these projects out together. Like you said, the reason why people are leaving is because there's no one in place that's dispersing these jobs the way they need to be dispersed. Sure. You have a guy, let's just say, for instance, like, if I was the guy that I just wanted everything, I just want to take every job, I do it myself, it's not going to work. Like, you're going to hit a...
Not sustainable.
It's not going to go anywhere, you know what I'm saying? So that's what the studio is for. I mean, the studio is for to get those people there, match a wedding photographer with a wedding client, max a food photographer with this person. It can't just be willy-nilly, okay, I got a club person that shoots parties and I got him going over and shooting a podcast. Like, that's not going to work, you know what I'm saying? So just that mindset of me getting older as well, like, just say it, Greg, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter what their feelings are, you know what I'm saying? Kind of being like a New York director. Like, New York directors and LA directors are assholes. And I used to, like, when I was younger and I was going to these places, interning and doing, I'm like, why are they like this? And now I understand, like, they're getting shit done. Sometimes you have to be an asshole. You can be an asshole in a good way, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Fine gestures, as long as you come with that check. At the end of being an asshole, I mean, they're going to keep on coming, you know what I'm saying? And then you don't have to be an asshole anymore because they understand what's needed. They understand how to get better. They understand what it takes to make the client go over the roof on what their concept is.
Sure.
So that's why I said that, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, don't shut up anymore. Like, say something, you know what I'm saying? So that's why all the people I've even been working with now, I'm putting pressure on them. Hey, here's a new app. You should be using this. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
The Opus Clip app. You know, I don't even know if you guys use that. I just started flirting with it. You know what I'm saying? And it's a little off. It's a little stuff. And you still want a person. Don't get me wrong. AI is a good tool, right? But you still want a person that's dedicated to a brand.
Right.
If I have 10 brands right now, and I know I have 10 people that can manage this brand, and they can go in almost every day to this brand, hey, what's going on? What do you need today? Do you need this graphic done? Do you need a photo? What's needed? Such and such is coming in. We're here. We're going to take, you know what I'm saying? People need that employee that's a multimedia assistant.
Right.
And I think that's what the goal is for the studio as well.
Well, exactly. And then the studio, because of the community aspect, it allows that multimedia person who's working with that brand to be like, okay, we got this person over here who'll come in and help you with that.
Exactly.
And then with the studio too, it allows for people to work on what they want to work on. Like you said, the club guy doesn't need to be going over and shooting the podcast.
No.
Like, he can work in the club.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Stay where your skill set is.
And if you go anywhere, those people are, I want to do everything. I want to do this. I want to do that. And that's fine. But let's baby step you to that. You know what I'm saying? Here's a project. Be an assistant light man for the wedding photographer. Do that good first.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Let's get you some behind the scenes of a wedding and see if you can handle that. You know what I'm saying? So just those criterias of even getting to that job, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
In different ways. And you know what I'm saying? Different companies have different ways where you can make more money. You know what I'm saying? You can get 5 stars and you get a vacation. You know what I'm saying? So like setting those type of things up for the creative community just to make them, you know what I'm saying, have aspirations to get to higher levels. I mean, I think it's easier to say. I mean, it's simple.
Yeah.
We just got to set it up.
Well, and you're opening doors for people not only to explore those things, but figure out what they want to do. Like you said, you know, right. like there's so many barriers to figuring out what you want to do
right.
that you feel like because of the scarcity, you feel like you have to do it all
right, right.
in order to make the check, in right. order to get money, to be sustainable, to pay your bills,
right.
whatever it is. And the studio, I feel like what you've been fostering, this type of community allows people to be able to just like, okay, let's figure it out.
Right.
And like, we're not going to throw you to the wolves. Right. We're going to bring you along. Like,
right, exactly.
In the things, do some of these things too first. See right. if that's even what you want to do.
Right.
And then we can go from there.
Right.
What has, so since you've made this shift, like I'm going to say it, I'm going to be the asshole director in Indianapolis now uh-huh. and just tell people what it is, what they need to know. What has that felt like over the past month and change?
It's kind of been weary a little bit. Like some people are like, I'm talking to the CEOs of the companies I'm already working with. So it's like, okay, great, calm down. You know what I'm saying? Well, we're going to, it's like, I'm getting good feedback on it. It's just like, give me time. You know what I'm saying? Like right. they want to do it. It's just like, we understand what you're saying, but just give us time to help you do it. And because I don't want to go I don't want to go sign a lease myself. I don't want to go put the structure in. I would like those CEOs I'm already working with to sit at the table with me, look at my ideas and say, okay, we should do this. We should do that. This will work. This will work. Instead of me just bumping my head and putting together stuff I think that hasn't been working already.
Right.
Because, you know, I can get to 20 clients, but when I get to 20 clients myself, it's like, okay, I don't even have any free time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I don't never want to get to that again.
Yeah.
And just going through those problems, failing, it's like, okay, let me communicate with the people that's already under my roof, under my table, and see what we can do.
Yeah. Well, it's, again, last week, Casey and I talked about, like, this balance of being able to not only create a fully sustainable business, stay busy, but to have the time to spend with your family, to
yes.
do whatever it is you want to do.
Right.
You know, like you be in the gym. Like yeah. you can't be in the gym if you're working the whole time.
Exactly.
And you're having to like put together stuff that ends up not working when
right.
you could have just had the conversation first.
Right, exactly.
What is it that you like to do on your free time? Like what when you're able to get away from the work of it? Like, what okay. What do you get into?
I'm a Call of Duty guy.
Okay.
I like playing video games. I had a really good, when Twitch first came out, I was really on it. I did really good. Then I shut it down because I was just taking way too much time on it. too much free time. But definitely video games, definitely my kids. I like being with my kids, working out. I mean, I'm up and down with working out, but now I've kind of been into it for like the last 3 months. Working out. I'm a golf guy. I like to golf.
Okay. Man, I got to get into golf. I got people telling me left and right, man, hey, you got to come out on the course.
Yeah, it's definitely soothing. I like music a lot. My stepdad is a pastor. He's a choir director, so I kind of grew up in music.
Okay.
I like music a lot. I'm not even going to get into that music until the studio is done again, but sure. I would love to get into music, like getting people to come. The same mindset I have with multimedia marketing is the same mindset I have with music.
Yeah.
I would love to bring people together, all these people I know to do beats. I work with Fresh Does It, I work with DJ Champ, I work with Dev Demetrius, I work with Maxi, you know what I'm saying? I would love for all these guys to be on the same track.
Hey.
But you know, it takes us talking about it for that to happen.
100%.
You know
what I'm saying?
But that's about it.
Well, and then you have the studio. I'm excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for it to be built because it's like, it does feel like this is really a space that we need, because you mentioned all these different guys and we've talked about it even before. Like, it's hard. Everybody wants to be the guy,
yeah.
which creates this tension that makes it hard to work together sometimes. Right. And because of that, everybody's got their own space, and nobody
right.
wants to go to somebody else's space to do
right.
it.
Right.
But if you come in as like, hey, I done worked with everybody,
right.
and
right.
now I have the space, y'all come here,
right.
like, it kind of creates this conducivity to be able to start right. creating together.
Yeah. You also still need a Dr. Dre and Suge Knight to cut those checks, too. And be,
hey, that's what's up.
I'm just a media guy, but, you got your G-Freshes of the world. I don't know if you guys ever heard of him. He owns Mr. Dance. He's one of those guys as well. So, I mean, I think it's going to happen here soon.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for it. I'm excited to continue following along with everything that you've been doing. You do amazing stuff. And I, again, appreciate you giving me the time to have this conversation. Just got a couple more questions for you, and we'll get you out of here.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about the, well, again, bringing people to this table. And we talked about Gang Gang. We talked about Be Nimble, people that have been doing it now for the last few years. Anybody in particular that you're really vibing with that you've been following that maybe isn't at that level or that shine but is on their way there that you want to shout out or let people know about?
The UBL League. Mm. The UBL League is coming out soon. Shout out to Chris. It's a semi-pro league. It's going to be, the first year is going to be in Indiana and Texas, where we'll have 8 teams in each city. And it's, I mean, it's kind of like the TBT, if you ever heard of it. Yep. The TBT has a tournament during the summertime, and it's really just a tournament for about a week or two. This UBL will be kind of the same concept, but it'll be a 3 to 4 month league.
That's what's
players
up.
Will be paid. You'll have 4 or 5 ambassadors from the WNBA, NBA, and being ambassadors slash owners of the teams. Mm. It's kind of a fan-owned league. It's not really funded by the owners at all. Chris is an amazing guy. He has a printing apparel company. He's a web designer as well. So he's creating different revenues for merch to be an artist as well, to create merch for the players, the NBA, former NBA and WNBA players. We're doing a lot of community work that each team will have to do as we reach out to the colleges and the elementary schools local to the teams, just making that mandatory.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of other leagues that are going on really don't make that mandatory, and they don't see the fan base that they need to see because they're not putting in that work.
Sure.
So definitely watch out for the UBL. It's coming. The first inaugural season will be in September, I believe, starting in September. And I mean, that's definitely one to look out for.
I see you be posted about the UBL. How did you get involved with them? Because didn't they just announce Indiana as one of, as the other, like, yeah, kind of the East region?
Yeah, so that was kind of me.
Okay, I thought that you might be pushing that. That was kind of me.
So there's kind of already some semi-pro teams and leagues going on that I've already worked with.
Yeah.
And they just all been seeing the same problems and reoccurring problems, you know what I'm saying? They're all really not really making money, and they're trying to find a way for it to make money, which is allowing the fans to be owners, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And allowing them to actually pick what's going on and what they feel. And I feel like that's the way for it to happen, instead of you paying a fee to be in a league, you know what I'm saying? Let's ask the fans, let's ask the ambassadors, let's ask the schools around what they want,
yep,
you know? So that's kind of the mindset of it.
I love it. Go to the community and ask the community what they want.
Yes.
Don't let one or two people make the decision. Let the community make the decision.
Yes, sir.
I love it. I'm here for it. What would you say to any creators, anybody in the multimedia space, anybody trying to get into it right now who might be watching or listening to this? What advice would you give them as somebody who's been doing it, somebody who's quote unquote made it, who is successful?
You're going to fail. You're going to fail 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 times. You know what I'm saying? But don't give up.
Mm.
Just keep on going. Find a niche. Find something that you like. Keep on doing it. Hit them over the head with it over and over again until you start getting bookings with it, and then you can explore other things with that. So
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I really asked you that question for myself, so that way I can just internalize that message and keep going with it. My man, I called you the connector because I'm pretty sure that I read that listed on your website or somewhere,
sir.
And like, it is very true just based on this conversation. I'm so glad I was able to sit down with you. After we get out of here, how do people find you? How do people support you in the work that you're doing?
May Book on all social platforms and Push Prep on all social platforms. I mean, that's really it. We got pushprep.net as well. You can find the website. You can look up our platform and our portfolio and all that as well. Fill out a contact form and we'll get back with you in 48 hours.
All right. 48 hours. I like the turnaround time. I like it that it's not so immediate. Like, we'll get back to you today. Like, give us a little bit of time to process this.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Well, Greg, I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for this conversation. Y'all can catch episodes of this show every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Make sure you go to our website, conversationpeacepod.com if you want to catch up on all of our previous episodes. Our 2023 archives are coming soon. I just got to get to work on that. Other than that, Conversation Pod Peace on Instagram if you want to check out any of our short clips, reels, other stuff that we got going on in the city. And remember, 2024, the year of the nap, the year Indianapolis. That's what's going on here at Conversation Peace. Until next time, I've been the titular Patrick, and this has been Conversation Peace. See y'all soon.
Let's go.